Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Up here on the Dialpad guest line, Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Hall of Famer, five-time, first-team All-Pro wide receiver, former Niner, and 95.7 The Game football insider Terrell Owens with Joe Lowe and Coase on 95.7 The Game. What's up, T.O.? How are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Well, we're trying to react to last night's preseason game, and we never want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it's been 330 days since quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo played some meaningful football, and last night he took 10 snaps, and it didn't go very well. So what we're trying to figure out today is, how do we respond to that? Do we react? Do we overreact? 10 bad snaps in the preseason, what do you do there?
There's room for improvement. The season doesn't start for another couple of weeks or so. And so, you know, for Jimmy, I think it was good, I'm sure, for him just to get out there, get into some live action. And, you know, practice and games are a bit different. Games is really kind of where it counts. And you kind of get back out there, get in the mix and get a feel for live action. Whereas practice is a bit more controlled. You're not getting hit. But I think for Jimmy, I'm sure definitely not the outing that he wanted to have, but just to get back out there and get a feel for some live action, I'm sure that was good for him. Obviously, like I said, not the best outcome that any quarterback, you know, obviously coming from that type of injury want to have. But I think I'm sure the good thing for him is that the first step is just getting back out there, feeling somewhat comfortable. And just getting bodies flying around him a bit.
With that saying, thanks for joining, T.O. With saying this is his first one, it was probably good to get him out there. The rust, you saw the knee, the significant injury last year, so he's going to have some ring rust. We understand that. So moving forward, playing against Kansas City, how would you go into that game? Does it speed things up? Do you implement Deebo Samuels to make sure you play him more now, play Jalen Hurd more now? Do you get them in with Jimmy G even more because you want to see how they're going to look week one when they head to Tampa Bay?
Absolutely. You definitely want to see what your young guns are, how they're going to perform. Obviously, some of those guys have definitely shown some promise as far as what they can do. Of course, you know, there are going to be a lot of vanilla coverages, you know, in preseason. They're not going to be any exotic defenses thrown at you. But just what those guys have shown already is definitely promising for the 49ers. And, again, as you just alluded to, man, just to get those guys some reps with the starting quarterback and vice versa, I think it would be very advantageous for the Niners, especially, you know, start of the beginning of the season, and then, you know, just to see what you're going to have down the stretch. So it'll be definitely a great thing to kind of get some continuity, some rhythm with the starting units.
How did you treat preseasons when you were a player? How did you treat it for your timing to get ready for the speed of the regular season? Because it is a different speed in week one from the four preseason games. What did you do to get yourself ready, and how did you take each game? For instance, we're heading into the third preseason game. How would you take that as a player?
I think if you ask a number of my coaches, you know, around that time that, you know, I was starting out and some of the players, I was a bit different. You know, I treated practice just as, you know, just as valuable of a mindset going into games. You know, my practices were just as hard as games, and so that's what I kind of adapted to. I kind of adapted to that 49er way of you know, timing, precision. And as receivers, you know, I had Jerry and JJ and Nate Singleton, all those guys to look up to, and, you know, they had this thing about finishing the play. Once you catch the ball, you know, we're running down the field. We're finishing that play probably 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 yards down the field, depending on where we are. And so it made the game a bit easier, but there was an adjustment with the game that I had to adjust to, which was the speed of the game. So again, those are some of the things that I worked on throughout the off seasons, probably within my first 3 years or so, to adapt to that speed. But going into, the preseason and actually as the regular season approaches, there's a lot of mental that you have to deal with, as well as the physical. You're tired, your legs are sore. Now training camp is a bit different than when we played. I'm sure Lorenzo can attest to this. We had two-a-days, and it was brutal. And so the mindset for these guys versus the mindset from when we played is a bit different. But my approach was to really just learn as many plays and learn the offense as much as I could. Because I realized when I knew a lot and I 100% knew what I was doing, it allowed me to play freely and play mistake-free football.
Terrell Owens joining Joe Lowe and Coase on 95.7 The Game. I want to depart from the Niners for just a second. Interesting story developing out of Dallas, one of your former teams. Ezekiel Elliott, star running back, holding out for more money. Jerry Jones has said no. Most people feel that at some point they'll get something done before the start of the season. Well, Jerry the other day was doing an interview, and he made a joke when asked about Ezekiel Elliott. He said, "Zeke who?" And then Zeke and his agent took exception to that. They said it was offensive. I was just curious, what was it like playing for the Cowboys under Jerry Jones? As an owner, what was it like with that relationship?
When I played there, it was great. I had a great experience there. Obviously playing with the Niners and, when I played against the Cowboys, they hated me, and I had the infamous Dallas Star incident. And then when I got there again, they welcomed me with open arms. And so when you can play, I played on my first 2 or 3 years, I played with some pretty good franchises. Starting out with San Francisco, Philly, and then Dallas. Like I said, it's one of the top, if not the top, franchises in the league when you think of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think when you play for an owner like Jerry Jones, obviously you know you have an opportunity possibly to win a championship. And I just tried to go in there and do what I did best and try to add some value to what they already had. And so I had 3 successful years there. It ended unfortunately due to some shenanigans pulled by Jerry Jones. And so again, like I said, it's unfortunate, that, some of these young guys have to go through some of that. But again, these guys are now starting to realize, their value. And I think some of these guys, they're doing it individually when I think they should be doing it collectively. I think if they did it collectively, they would have more leverage. And then, you wouldn't have remarks coming out of owner's mouth like a Zeke who. When these guys start to get smart enough and start to realize the value that they have, when they start getting the mindset of the basketball players, when they collectively get together and realize, there's more power together than individually, then you'll probably start to see these guys move the needle, and these owners will be pretty much scared and put in a corner to do something. I think now these guys are, realizing, okay, my years are short, injuries are happening at a rapid pace, and, they want to maximize, and take advantage of the years that they have. So, like I said, it's unfortunate that Zeke and some of these guys have to go through that. I just heard that, Dak just turned down, $30 million, but he sees what these other guys have been paid over the course of the years, and his stats are equal, if not better. So he wants to get the same amount of money.
No question, and he deserves it, and we'll see how that works out. And every franchise you went to, definitely you put it down. You're definitely one of the greatest that played that position. Heading to the looking at the Niners and watching how they struggled, especially offensively last night. They got one more rehearsal, and then then the starters probably won't play the fourth game. How that works in preseason, but then they're going to go to Tampa Bay. The weather, all the different things, humidity. Bruce Arians, who's a great coach, who's going to have a team, doesn't have necessarily a lot of great talent, but he's going to have those guys ready to play. What is the Niners going to need to do, in your opinion, after watching a little bit last night? How do they get ready for that game and be able to compete on a high level?
Put everything together in practice. And I think, you know, that's where you have to clean up things. You have to go back to the drawing board, obviously. For Jimmy G, I think their success, the Niners' overall success is obviously going to be predicated by what he does at that quarterback position. Defensively, of course, they're going to have to keep guys out of the end zone in order for them to obviously put themselves in a position to win. But as I just alluded to, you got to start with cleaning up, you know, with some of the mistakes. And that's where you do that in the film room, you know, out on the practice field. And hopefully some of those corrections can be transferred and translated, you know, to game day. So as you mentioned, you know, I don't know what the strength of Tampa Bay's schedule and what their identity will be, whether it's offensively or defensively, speaking of the Buccaneers. But, you know, that's game one. And so they can't overestimate or underestimate an opponent. So now, like I said, they have to just clean up some things, get ready for game one. And like I said, they have one more dress rehearsal, and I'm sure probably none of the starters, if not all of them, are going to play in that last game. So going into this season, like I said, I'm sure there are some concerns of if you're a GM, if you're an owner, obviously you don't want to see your starting quarterback in Jimmy G playing the way he played last night. But there again, there's some time, there's some room for improvement, and I'm sure, you know, game day is a bit different. And so, like I said, if Jimmy G is one of those guys, obviously, that can flip that switch and make some things happen, then that's a good thing for the 49ers. But I'm sure, like I said, he'll bounce back, and I think this, you know, the first time out is really, like you said, Lorenzo, just to kind of, you know, knock the rust off a little bit, just to get back in into that action. He, you know, he's 35 days from, you know, from it being a full year from that injury. So I'm looking for some great things from Jimmy G and the 49ers. So I'm not overly concerned right now, but I think for Jimmy G, I'm thinking, you know, this is a good test for him.
T.O., let's go around the National Football League. You might be the perfect guy to ask about this. And Antonio Brown, in his scenario and situation with the Raiders, he's got the feet problem. He's got the helmet problem. He loses the case and the helmet problem. Now he's got a second case against the NFL about wearing the type of helmet he needs to have. It seems like there needs to be some type of a problem around Antonio Brown in order for him to compete at his optimum. How do you view what Antonio Brown is doing and going through in his first season with the Silver and Black?
I don't know. I don't know. I just went back and forth with Ryan Clark about, you know, bringing my name up, you know, into this situation. You know, Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. You know, I don't think, you know, as far as what he's doing, I mean, like I said, it's hard for me to put my finger on it. Obviously, like I said, I mean, one thing I do agree with Ryan Clark about is obviously having the right circle of people or right people around you to kind of guide you into the right direction and kind of really, in a sense, address the issues that really matter. And I think out of all the things that you mentioned, obviously two of my helmet situations and the grievance, and then the feet. Those the feet is probably the best thing to really be addressing at this point, because your feet are your money makers as well as his hands are. Again, like I said, if he can't run around, then you know his hands are useless. And so, as far as the helmet is concerned, obviously the concussion issue is a big thing. And so again, it's one of those things that he's trying to address is for himself is comfort. It's just like, I mean, everything is advancing, everything is getting better. It's just like somebody, again, I had a grandparent, you know, I have people that like old cars. Obviously with these new cars coming into play, sometimes people are not quick to just jump on the new and the best thing that's out there. You're comfortable with driving that old car. You know, it's like that girlfriend that you always just want to have. You don't want to go to the new girlfriend, that you want to stay with what's comfortable for you and with you. And so I think that's what he's trying to address, is that helmet has been always, you know, comfortable with him. He's not really trying to go with the new helmet. And as I said last week, when you talk about the concussions and you talk about, you know, there's been a decline in concussions, you know, that's not solely due to the helmets and the design of the helmets. I'm sure there's to a degree that factors into it, but the concussions, you know, they've been on the decline because of the way that they've basically the way they play the game. They've incorporated and implemented these new rules, you know, for the defense not to be so head savvy and head hunting that it has taken, you know, a lot of these hits away from a lot of these guys. So the concussions have gone down. So, you know, with Antonio Brown, like I said, I don't know what's going on in his camp. There's a number of things, you know, that's going on with that. And then I even saw something where his shelf is suing him for like $40,000 or whatever dollars that he hasn't paid. So for him, he just really has to, again, just concentrate on what's most important with him. And if that's playing football, then let the helmet issue be the helmet issue. It'll work itself out. But I think most important for him is to really just really focus on Raider Nation. That's where he wanted to go. They're looking for a lot of great things out of him this year. And right now there's a lot of distractions going into the season. So if he can kind of, you know, clean up some of these things, then he's going to be fine.
Teal, before we let you go, it's a bit of a sad note, but I know you played with Cedric Benson, former Texas running back, former Bears, Bengals running back. He passed away in a motorcycle accident this past week. Very tragic to hear the news. What struck you about that situation? Because I know you were close to him.
Yeah, man. It just, in my mind, man, it just puts everything in perspective, man. The life is short, man. And, you know, to be gone at 36, man, I'm 45, and man, it's, you know, to just hear, you know, and see some of the imagery, you know, from the incident, you know, it just, man, it touched me. And so just me, it took me back to Cincinnati when I met Cedric, and I watched him from afar when he was with the Bears. And, you know, I recall, you know, the times in practice and just talking to him. He's a gentle soul, great guy, you know, quiet. And he played with a lot of passion. And so that's what I remember most and what I appreciate about Cedric. And my heart goes out to the family. I'm not sure for sure if it was his girlfriend that was on the motorcycle with him, but you know, her family as well. Man, it's just, you know, and like I said, I'm not sure what exactly happened. I mean, the reports are that I heard that the minivan hit him, and then I'm reading that he drove into the minivan. So I'm, regardless of whatever what happened, man, it's just very unfortunate that, you know, we've lost the NFL has lost another one of its members and brothers, you know. And so for me, it's just so tragic and unfortunate, man, that we've lost another guy, man. And, you know, over the last 8 to 12 months, man, I've lost, you know, friends and family. And, man, this is just adding to it. And it just puts everything in perspective that life is short, man. And you just want to just go out and just live life and, you know, just enjoy it to the best, you know, of your ability, man. And, you know, we talk about Antonio Brown and some of the stuff that he's doing, you know, he's dealing with. It pales in comparison to what life is about. And so, you know, if you put it in that context, you know, Antonio Brown should just go out and just play football, you know, play to the best of your ability. You never know. Tomorrow's not promised. You know, just like, you know, a few days ago, we just lost Cedric. And so, you know, my heart goes out to his family.
Well said, and thank you for sharing. Hall of Famer, yeah. Terrell Owens, 95.7 The Game Football Insider with Joe Lowe and Coase on 95.7 The Game. T.O., we always appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to talking with you next Tuesday.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.